Thank you for your patience with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves. How many agree with that? I can hold it. All right, thank you. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Enough for this one or something. It's okay. Let me just hold it. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the Lord who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now here is my text. This is what I want to preach from tonight. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Are you still here? Okay, let me read verse 7 one more time. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Father, add your blessing to the reading of the word. Make it rich to our hearts tonight. You know, you knew ahead of time who was going to be here, who was not going to be here. You have this service planned. And I pray that you would take these few simple words that you have poured into my spirit and heart and pour it now into the heart, into the mind, into the soul, into the spirit of every person within the sound of my voice. Make it rich, make it powerful to them as only you know how to do. Do this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. I love this scripture. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It works good that way. It works best that way. And this verse is virtually kind of thematic for the entire letter of 2 Corinthians. Because it is expressing the paradox of how weak and frail human beings can be instruments of the power of God. Aren't you glad God chose such a plan? In verse 6, Paul used the illustration of light to portray God's work in us to destroy the powers of darkness. But now it seems like almost an unexpected and suddenly new illustration that he gives us, talking about the treasure in earthen vessels. And a close look at this verse shows and actually illustrates and pictures the Lord himself as the master artist. I was talking to Pastor earlier about Brother Parrish that attends here, a great artist, great man of God. But Jesus is the master artist, can you say amen, who has chosen flawed and weak and frail humanity to show forth his purpose and his power. The paradox really is that this great artist who designed the universe, now think about it, that's what kind of artist he is. He designed the universe. He can reproduce, this artist can reproduce artistry anytime, anywhere. He can reproduce creativity. He can reproduce spontaneity. He can reproduce healing. He can reproduce miracles. He can reproduce beauty out of anything through redeemed humanity. That's what he's chosen, redeemed. God has chosen to display his love, his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness, his caring, and so much more through his people, you and me. How many know the word says we are living epistles known and read of all men? The world sees who we are. If they cannot see the artistry of Jesus in our lives, then we're missing what we need to be showing and demonstrating to the world. Can you say amen? It's even more astounding when you understand the meaning of these key words. For example, the word earthen. Earthen is a very colorful word. It's in the Greek, it's ostrakonos. Ostrakonos. And I'm sure you are thrilled about that word and thrilled to know that truth. But let me tell you why I'm saying that. It is part of the foundation of the family of ostra words in English. And a few of them are oyster, ostracize, osteopath, osteomyelitis. And osteomyelitis describes a condition of a bone disease and bone deterioration. And an osteopath is a health specialist who attends to bones. An oyster is so called because of its brittle and breakable shell. I never knew that till I came across this truth. Why was it called an oyster? Where did things get their names? But that's why, because it's from the osteokonos words, and it means that it has a brittle and breakable shell. And all three of these words point out a feature of our word earthen, ostrakonos, as a quality of brittleness, fragility, and the ability to break or to be broken. The word ostracize, think with me for a moment, originated as an ancient custom of town people. The citizens would gather in the town center to vote on banishing a worthless nuisance or one who was supposed to be dangerous to the society, the community, to that area. Tiles with opposite colors were given to each citizen, and after hearing all the reasons why the individual should go or he should stay, the people of the town would vote yes or no by placing the tiles in a certain place. And if the go tiles outnumbered the stay tiles, the person involved would be banished from the community. And our word ostracize emerged from the voting tile, which itself was very breakable because it was called an ostracon. A breakable tile. The very nature of the earthen vessel suggests human nature as brittle and breakable and frail. The Bible grammarians define ostrakonos as earthenware, made of clay, like tile or terracotta. A perishable container, a vessel destined for dissolution. A vessel that will ultimately just wear away. It's not going to last. It will not endure. And it's utterly astounding and staggering to the mind that deity, I'm saying God, a very God, resides and lives and works through fallen, frail humanity. F.C. Cook, in the speaker's commentary, says this. He said, this is not meant to debase the body. He said, Christianity insists on the dignity of the body, which is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. John Lang states this. He said, the contrast is between the glorious ministries that take place in the kingdom of God, take place in the world, and they're entrusted to a perishable human body. Not enduring at all. And the good news is that God has entrusted us with the greatest treasure of all of history. But the reality is we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be glad to lay this thing down. No wonder the writers of the Bible call in the New Testament calls it a tent. It's perishable. It flaps in the wind. It's not going to last. It's not going to endure. Can you say amen? I will not be sad to lay it down. I'm looking forward to a new body and a new heaven and a new earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But there, you know, there's a well-known story in the Old Testament that many Bible scholars relate and compare to the truth here in 2 Corinthians. It's found in Judges chapter 7, and the scene is one of, wow, it's outstanding, glorious victory over an army so huge. You know, if you've read through the Old Testament and the battles of Israel, you know that many times, most times, all times that I've read, it always tells how many are in the number that's in the opposing army that's coming, the enemy that's coming. It lists them. How many thousands? But in this story, it's so different because it says this. It says the army was so huge, the Bible says they were without number. Now, you got to know that was a problem for Israel. Sometimes our problems seem so big and so overwhelming. It's almost like this army without number. We don't know where it's going to end. We don't know what's going to come of it. We don't know what's going to take place. We don't know how to get out of it. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know what to do. A number so big, they didn't even count it. And Israel was hiding in dens and caves in the mountains. But Gideon asks a question. I'm so glad he did. He asks a very vital question. He said, if the Lord is with us, where are all his miracles? Come on, church. God doesn't get upset, fall off the throne, or work up a sweat when we ask those kind of questions. He is just waiting for us to be concerned enough and care enough to ask the question. He still has miracles. He's still a miracle-working God. Can you say amen? If the Lord is with us, where are all his miracles? And God gave him the answer in a way that no one could take credit for the answer but God. I like that. With only 300 men, no weapons, a trumpet, and clay pitchers with a torch inside, they surrounded the camp of this enemy army. And at Gideon's signal, they broke the pitchers. They broke the pitchers and blew the trumpets. And when the light in the pitchers were released, how many know that light is always greater than darkness? Come on. When the light and the pictures were released, the enemy army began killing themselves and killing each other. They ran, they cried, and they fled, the Bible says. They didn't know who was who and where the enemy was. And Gideon's army was so small compared to this great number. They thought everywhere they turned, there was an enemy, so they killed somebody. But they were killing their own men. Church, I want to say again, God still has miracles. All he needs are vessels who are willing to be broken. Broken. None of us want to be broken. We wrestle against it. We run from it. But nothing says to the heart of God more than being broken in His presence that we are His and that we are usable. If we wonder where God's miracles are, God's wondering where His clay pitchers are that He can break, that He can release His light to the world. It doesn't matter how big or how impossible our circumstances, light always destroys darkness. Somebody say amen. And the word treasure is also an interesting word. The Greek word is thesauros. And it's a triple compound word. And that may sound staggering to you, but that simply means it's three words in the Greek that are made up, are put together to make one word that is translated treasure. Okay? Three words put together, triple compound word, and it's three different words put together to make one word, and that word is translated treasure. The first word means this, to place or to set. Like I would say, maybe a lady of the house said, I'm going to set this lamp. I'm going to set it right over here on this table. I think it's an ideal place for it. I like what it will do there. I like how it looks there. I'm going to set it there. That's where I want it to go. I see the purpose she has in mind, or he has in mind, for to place it there. And so it the first word means to place or to set. The second word means for. In other words, the purpose. But the third word staggers my heart. The first is set, to place or to set. The second word is for, but for what? The third word is tomorrow. That's what is used to translate the word into treasure. How does that become a treasure? Where do they get treasure from that? Let me explain. His treasure was placed in you also for a reason. His treasure, God said, I'm going to set my treasure in them for. For what? For tomorrow. In other words, all the needs you will encounter in all of your tomorrows, God has already supplied, because He has already placed the treasure in you for all of your tomorrows. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Come on. Amen. God has placed His treasure, Himself, His grace, His gifts, His love, His blessings, His miracles, His healings, His so great salvation in you. Everywhere you go, you have this treasure within you to give away. No wonder Peter said at the gate beautiful, when the man asked alms, Peter said, look on us. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. Treasure. You see, this is not a treasure you hide, it's a treasure you share. Your giving it away never diminishes yours, but giving it away will always cause yours to increase and enlarge in the process. God has placed and set Himself the treasure. He is the treasure. He has set it in us. And for what reason? For our success in all of our tomorrows. Oh, can you say amen? We can draw from His resources for every tomorrow, for the rest of our lives, and for all eternity. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But those riches, that treasure, flows through us, not only just to our needs, but to a needy, needy, needy world. Barnes Notes refers to the word treasure, thesauros, as the power, don't miss this, he refers to it as the power that heals the sick. That's the treasure we have. It's the power that heals the sick. It's the power, he said, that raises the dead. It's the power that casts out devils. It is the power of carrying the gospel to the nations. It converts sinners. It humbles the proud. It leads guilty persons to the knowledge of God and gives hope for heaven. Barnes further adds, all this is beyond human strength. If God doesn't do it, it will not be done. He does it because He is the treasure of our lives. No wonder Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. May we realize that is so true. Without Him, there's not a thing we can do. Second, Philippians 2:13 said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Jesus is our example. The word said everywhere He went, He was doing good. The little woman with the issue of blood risked everything to press through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She knew that He had the treasure that she was looking for. And that's why she said in her heart, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. You see, the reality is that you can be used of God. It's not how long you've been saved. It's not if you went to Bible school or seminary, how much Bible you've memorized. If you have received Christ into your heart, you have this treasure in your earthen vessel, and you can do good everywhere you go. The Bible did not say these signs should follow just anybody, but these signs shall follow those who believe. You qualify. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The word says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why Paul said, we did not come to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of God's power. That's how we've come. We didn't come to impress you with who we are. We came to impress you with who God is. Excellence means the exceeding greatness. All that God does is excellent. He is the only one who can do things of exceeding greatness. And when we recognize our utter inability to match God's excellence in power, He can then use us to demonstrate His power. I've come to the realization I cannot change one person's life. But when I become willing and I become a broken vessel before Him, then He can change any life and every life that I tell about Him. I want to give to you my paraphrase in closing. This so touched my heart, I just felt like writing it out the way I felt it. Maybe you relate to it. But this is my paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 4:7. He uses this poor, broken, and breakable vessel to change lives so that He will receive all the glory. And all the world will know that this is truly a work of God. And God living in us and working through us is the treasure of all treasures. And I close with one scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Just reading through it the other day, just in devotions, all of a sudden it just hit me like a thunderbolt. And this is what it says. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I don't know why, but I'm glad. I don't know why He chose to use me, but I'm glad. I don't know why His hand is still upon me, but I'm glad. He has placed His indescribable treasure within my heart, and I'm so glad. Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's like a rose that is crushed for its fragrance. The rock was smitten, and then the water came out. Has God been breaking you? He breaks you down that He may lift you up. You give, you empty yourself so He can fill you. God gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Amen. We're going to receive a love offering this evening. I purposefully didn't want an early one taken, so we could all have it go to Brother Dixon. He didn't talk about his brokenness, but he has had his share, losing his wife, some of his vision. He's been often in and out of the hospital. He mentioned his throat. But I sure felt the presence of the Lord come forth out of him this evening. There's something about being broken before the Lord where you're humble Aren't you glad to hear a man and you see Jesus in him? Amen. Brother Joe, would you come, and we're going to take a love offering this evening. They're right here. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to lay it on your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a servant that you have brought to this church. All of us, Lord, are doing your work. I thank you for Brother Paul. I thank you for his life. Lord, his children. I pray for Darla, Lord. I pray for David and Tara. I pray for Paul, Lord, that you bless him. He has blessed us, and we want to be a blessing to him. So encourage your people to give. Let faith rise up, Lord. And Lord, we give to you. And we know, Lord, that you will get the glory. Time is short. They sow unto us spiritual things and they reap the carnal. And Lord, we're so glad. But we pray for this offering, Lord. Right now, I pray you lay on the heart of each one what they are to give. And Lord, let it be a spiritual gift on our part back to you that you so richly have given unto us. We can't buy it, but we can be grateful. And we want to do that and give to you for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know why I want to tell you this story, but I want to encourage somebody here this evening. When I was a brand new convert, I had an infection in my foot. I had a wart and I had something that I was seeing professional doctors. They were doing everything they knew to do to try to cure it. They couldn't. This went on about a year. It got to where at times it just was hard to walk. And I remember at least 10 times at the end of a service, when they asked for people that had needs, I would go forward and I would ask, Lord, touch my foot, touch my foot, touch my foot. You go, you go, you go. Finally, I thought, I'm not going to remind you again. And yet, I knew enough Bible to keep going. I eventually forgot about it. It probably took me 3 years down the road to realize my foot was healed. When did it happen? I don't know. And I say that you may have something that you just keep. And now the old preacher would say, don't give up. And I would say that too. But I want you to know he's so good, even if you give up, he don't forget your prayer. And I want to encourage, I'm not saying that to go back and start, you know, although it might be good, but I did it for years. And probably three or four, I thought, well, when did that happen? My wife said, well, I noticed you hadn't been picking at your foot. But it had been a long time. I just want you to know God's faithful. I don't know who that's for, but I want to encourage you. He has heard your prayer. He's a miracle-working God. Thank you, Brother Paul. That was an excellent word. That was very good. And we appreciate it, and we pray Godspeed on you. Would you stand, Brother Paul? I want us to pray for him. Would you do that? Would you stand? And we're going to ask God to help him. He has the touch of God on him. And stretch your hand this way. Father, I lay hands on Brother Paul. He has been a friend. Lord, he loves you. His heart is for your kingdom, these people. We thank you for the time that you blessed this church with him. And we pray your blessings on him, his family, his ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go check your sore. It's probably gone.